Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector, sponsored by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 35 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. We have a really fun, interesting interview with TTM Collector Drew Pelto. Drew is from Texas, and he actually worked for Panini, so we talk about his experience at Panini and talk about TTM collecting, and I think it was a really fun interview. It's a little long, so hopefully you can listen to it, maybe in two settings, because it's going to run a little long, but it's really a fun, enjoyable interview, so hopefully you stay tuned for the entire interview and enjoy. Like to welcome everyone back to the show. We did not have a show last week, but we're back in the swing of things for this week. Today is Sunday, December 22nd. It is the last show for 2019. Well, next show will be on Sunday, January 5th after the New Year. So hopefully everyone has a happy holiday and a great holiday. As always, my name is Jeff Baker. I am the host of the program. If you can reach me on Yahoo at email at ttmcast@yahoo.com for any feedback or any questions regarding the show. I'm also on Twitter at ttmcast. Cast TTM. I am on Instagram at TTMcast. The show can be found anywhere podcasts are available, including Spotify and Podbean and Google Play and iTunes and Stitcher. We have a forum on sportscardforum.com, and we also can, if you have the Alexa device or you get an Alexa device for Christmas, you can play our podcast by just saying, "Alexa, play TTM podcast," and you'll hear the most recent episode, and you can also listen to back episodes of the show. Now on to Baker's Dozen for our first segment. Baker's Dozen is just kind of a wrap-up of what's going on in the industry, some of the things that I've noticed. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, hope you have a great holiday, wishing you a safe New Year. Just a couple things. I had a fun article that was put on sportscollectorsdigest.com. Great inexpensive gift ideas for the collectors, including TTM collectors. I mentioned a bunch of gift ideas for your TTM collectors, so there's still a couple shopping days before Christmas. I invite you to check it out. Even after the holidays, it's a fun article with some interesting gift ideas. Also, Sports Collectors Digest updated their website. Hopefully, you get to check that out. They've kind of redesigned their website. It's a little easier to use and has all sorts of sections and actually has a section for autographs. So there's some TTM, other TTM autograph and autograph articles there. And I like the new redesign. So check out Sports Collectors Digest if you want to check out their website. And also, my article is on Sports Collectors Daily. So my gift ideas for collectors is on Sports Collectors Daily. Sports Collectors Digest has a new website. Lastly, I noticed Max Muncy and Aubrey Huff have put out a call for people to stop sending TTM requests to their home addresses. They don't really like that. So if you are requesting autographs from Max Muncy or Aubrey Huff, please send it to care of their teams. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who passed away. I had sent out a TTM request to him, not realizing he had passed away. And so I do this as a service to our fellow TTM collectors so that they don't send out TTM requests to people who had passed away. So we just saw that Ike DeLock, who was a favorite of the TTM community, who played for the Boston Red Sox in the 50s and 60s, recently passed away. I just saw our TTM collector got a notification that he had sent a TTM request and he is deceased. So I'm sorry, we lost Ike DeLock. Vaughn Johnson, who was a linebacker for the New Orleans Saints from 1986 to 1994. He actually played his final year with the Philadelphia Phillies, passed away recently. Sorry for his loss. A couple industry-related people that passed away. It actually has some sports ilk to it. We lost Herman Boone, who was the coach for the Remembered Titans team that won the state championship in Virginia back in 1971, and he was 84. James Radio Kennedy, who was he had a film featured about him, Radio. He passed away. He was 73. And Hayden Fry, who was the longtime coach of the Iowa football, University of Iowa football, and he was actually modeled after the Craig T. Nelson TV show back in the 80s and early 90s was modeled after him. Hayden Fry, who was a longtime coach of the University of Iowa football, passed away. He was 90 years old. And in the world of entertainment, we lost Danny Aiello, who was he was on Do the Right Thing, and he was on numerous films. He was 86, I'm sorry. So we lost a few people this past week. Our condolences to their families, and sorry for the losses. Now on to returns. Just a few returns this past week. I haven't been sending out any because of some personal stuff, and I don't like to send out during the holiday season, so I won't be sending out stuff until after the new year. But I did get three returns. I got another one from Marty Barrett. I had sent out a second request a while ago to Marty Barrett, and he signed my 1988 Topps. Great blue signature in blue and blue Sharpie right across the front of the card. Nice signature. Thank you, Marty Barrett. I got two returns from John Wensig, who was a Boston Bruins tough guy back in the 70s. So I got on a 79-80 Topps rookie card and on a, I think this is, yes, 78-79 our rookie card as well. So I got two John Wensig cards signed, nice and black Sharpie with his signature pretty vivid, so very happy to get those. And then I also got still kind of surprise for me, I got a return from Mike Schmidt on a 1978 Topps card for my 1978 set. I know that some people say it's a ghost signer, it's not him, but I sent it to a private address, and I'm hoping that it was Mr. Schmidt actually signed it. And every once in a while you hear it, you see he signed it, so I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that it's a good signature, but it does add to my 1978 top set. I'm at about 300 now for my 78 set, and I'm going to make a concerted effort in the next couple months to start filling that up a little and filling some of the holes and see if I can get to 400 in the next month or two for my 1978 set. And closing out the show today, I have as I said at the beginning, we have a nice interview with Mr. Drew Pelto. Drew is a TTM collector. He lives in the Dallas area, Arlington, Texas, actually, and he works for Panini. So we talk TTM collecting, and we get some Panini secrets, if you will, from Drew. So hopefully you enjoy our talk.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline is collector extraordinaire and a renaissance man in my mind. He's a musician. He's a photo artist. He is a TTM collector from the great state of Texas. He is in Arlington. Mr. Andrew Drew Pelto. Drew, you like to be by Drew, correct?
Yes, I go Drew, yes.
Okay, welcome to the program, Drew.
Hey, thanks for having me on here. I've gotten to check out a couple episodes recently, and I really like what you're doing with it here.
Thank you. It's been a passion of mine for about, I don't know, maybe 2 years now, and I started the show last January, so I made it through a full year, and I just posted my 34th episode today with Mr. Don Marcotte from the Boston Bruins. So it's been giving me an opportunity to talk TTM with athletes, with collectors like yourself, and people in the industry. So it's been real fun. So thank you for the kind words.
Great.
Well, I learned about you. You reached out to me about coming on the program, and I see that you're a major collector in TTM, and you've been doing it for a while. How did you get involved in collecting? Because you kind of started at a young age.
I did, yeah. My dad was always a card collector when he was a kid. Back into the 1950s and 60s, he got rid of most of his cards by the late 60s when he was in high school and college and all that. But we actually got lucky back in 1992 when my grandmother was moving into an assisted living facility. She said, go through the house, take whatever you want. And I was hoping, hey, maybe we'll find some cards. And he's thinking, nah, there's no way. And, well, we got lucky. And up in the attic, there are a few of his old cards from 62 and 63 Tops. I've actually got all of those now. There was a Mickey Mantle in there and Roberto Clemente, a lot of big names in there. But I've got all those now. I've actually sent a few of the smaller names off to be TTM'd and everything, gotten them all back, which is great. But now, he's really the one that got me started.
How was the condition? Because back then they didn't really care about condition when they were collecting. They just collected for the fun.
Right. Yeah, we actually got a couple of them graded by, I got them graded back in the early 2000s when it was, everybody and their cousins was starting their own grading company. So it's like kind of an off-brand grader. But the, the Clemente one I know got a 7. So, not too bad. It wasn't like, run through the bicycle spokes or anything like that, but good enough at least.
Now, yeah, I know you're from Ohio.
Yes.
You went to school here in Boston at Emerson, which is a communication school. And you got bitten by the journalism bug like myself. And then found out you can't make money writing for the newspapers that are no longer in business.
Exactly. I was a broadcast journalist. Journalist to start with everything. Oh, sorry. Keep on talking here. But I was actually a broadcast journalist. So I was actually play-by-play with a junior hockey league for a number of years. I was with the Wichita Falls Wildcats in the North American League as their radio, internet, TV voice. And after getting out of that, now that's how I ended up down here in DFW area here with working with Panini.
Yeah, I'm really jealous of guys like you that have nice radio voices.
Thanks.
So, but you really got involved in autographing, in person, right? And while you were in school here in Boston?
I did, yeah, because the great thing with Emerson's main dorm when I was there is right at the corner of Boylston and Tremont there, right across from the Boston Common. And, of course, right close by there, you're within walking distance easily of a lot of the hotels that various teams would stay at. And so because of that, I was able to just walk down and start getting autographs from hockey teams that would come in to play against the Bruins. I was able to take the T over to North Station there, jump out and get the Bruins as they'd get done for their morning skates, and just got hooked on it that way.
Now, were they pretty open to signing back then?
Yeah, a lot of them were back then. The biggest name at the time, this is when Joe Thornton was still there. In fact, I remember I may have gotten the last autograph that Thornton signed while he was a member of the Bruins because he usually didn't stop and sign after morning skates at all. He would just drive by a window up. After the games, he would usually stop and sign for at least a few people there. And, well, this one day he just happened to have the window down, and I just kind of sarcastically shouted, "Hey, Joe, sign for us." He's like, "Yeah, sure." I'm like, "Whoa, okay, I wasn't expecting that," but pulled out a photo, asked him to personalize it to Drew, and I actually still have that somewhere in all of my files of photos here. And then I think it was later that day or the next day, we find out, oh, hey, by the way, he's been traded to San Jose. And so just got lucky to get him on that photo on that last day that he was around.
Yeah, how about any of the old-timers? Did you have any luck with any of the old-timers? That wasn't really your forte back then.
We did actually used to see Derek Sanderson out there quite a bit. He was always great anytime we'd see him. Jerry Cheevers was usually good about signing one or two. Saw Johnny Busick once as well. I heard the interview that he did with him as well.
Yeah, he was very nice.
He's not much of an in-person signer. He's a little bit of a stickler there, but he's been great. I've got him by mail after that too, and he's a great signer by mail at least, so I will definitely give him two thumbs up on that.
We went to the Bruins and Rangers did a charity game at Bentley University maybe a month and a half ago, and it was an autograph bonanza.
Nice.
Basically, at the end of the first period, they had tables set up with all the Bruins players. So you just basically went right down the line, and every Bruins player that was there signed, and the Rangers guys were all signing, and then even like John Rattel and Brad Park and Rod Gilbert and all these guys were all signing, and they were all Joey Mullen. It was fantastic. I actually printed up a picture of the old Bruins uniform jersey and an old Rangers jersey, and I had them all signed. It was unbelievable.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, the Bruins alumni they've got one of the best alumni setups that I've seen out of anybody in the NHL. I actually went one of the times I went down after a Bruins game was that they had a Bruins alumni versus like a bunch of Microsoft employees or something like that in this charity game afterward. And yeah, just driving out every single former Bruins player was stopping and signing for us and everything. And yeah, they were always great out there.
Yeah, I know Johnny Busick was the head of the alumni for a while, and then he really beefed it up. And then Rick Middleton was in charge of it. And I think Bob Sweeney, I think, is now running the show. But there, it's a fantastic thing. Now, when did you jump into the TTM realm?
Well, my very first TTM would have been back in actually 1992. I would have been about 7 or 8 years old. Wow. I sent out just. Took a chance on a few guys. I don't even remember where I'd read about it. Maybe like a Sports Illustrated for Kids article or something like that. But I mailed off to, I tried Mark McGuire, Jim Abbott, and Sandy Alomar Jr. McGuire and Abbott just sent back preprints, but Sandy Alomar Jr. actually did sign the card that I sent, and I still have that in my collection now. It's his 91 Donruss All-Star card.
Cool.
But that was the first one I did there. Did a couple more here and there, but I really didn't get into it heavily until 2007 again, which was just after I had moved to Wichita Falls. And Wichita Falls is about 2 hours away from Oklahoma City or from Dallas. So either way, you've got quite a drive if you want to do anything in person. It's a little bit different from when I was in Boston, you know, could just walk a block down the street and, hey, there's the Ritz-Carlton.
Yep.
So 2007 is when I really started getting back into it really heavily at around that time. And actually, I've got my stats sheet here. I keep track of everything that I send out, and yeah, 2007, I sent out 160 requests that year. Yeah, I sent out 160 requests that first year, got 90 of them back, so about over 50% there, which, you know, not too bad for just getting back into it. Yeah.
Now, were you doing handwritten notes then?
I think at that point I was typing. I usually do handwritten now. I've kind of gone back and forth where I'll handwrite for a long time. Then I would type for a little while, but I think I've typed one since probably about 2015, and those were just some international soccer ones that I sent out.
Okay.
So I was sending to some guys that were in, like, you know, the former Yugoslavian countries, so it's like, I don't know how good their English is, so I figure it's probably better, you know, have it typed, easy to read and everything, than trying to read my occasionally questionable handwriting.
Well, I can't figure out how to send stuff to Canada, so I have no idea how you're doing Yugoslavia.
It's tough. It took a lot of research to do it, but I've actually had pretty good success internationally. I mean, there's only four countries that I've sent to and not gotten anything back from, and they were like one-off requests to Norway, Argentina, Denmark, and Croatia. But wow. I've had really good success with Canada, with Czech Republic, Sweden, Finland. I've got ones back from the Netherlands, Slovakia, the UK, Serbia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and of all places, Hong Kong. I got a hockey request sent out to there.
That's fantastic. Well, if you ever need Russia, my son is speaks fluent Russian. He took Russian at Brandeis, so he needs a Russian translator for your letter. He can help you with that.
Perfect. Well, I'm actually about to send off to Russia for Dmitry Bykov, the former Red Wings defenseman. He's a coach over there now, and I need him for one of the sets that I'm working on, so I figured out how to write the address in full Cyrillic writing just to be on the safe side, but, you know, throw it out there, fingers crossed, and hope I get it back.
All right, well, if you want somebody to proof it, send it off to me, and I'll have him look at it because he has it.
Awesome.
He speaks fluent Russian. So that's really a different way of attacking it, I guess. You know, the people in the U.S., I'm sure, are always getting requests, but I would think on an international level, they can't be getting inundated with requests every day. So have you had much a better success rate with international?
I'd say it's about the same, maybe a little bit higher, but also a lot of that, too, is that a lot of ones I'm sending internationally are for this indoor soccer project that I have. I'm trying to get all these indoor soccer sets from the late 80s and early 90s signed. And just trying to track down some of these guys, even when they're in the U.S., is like pulling teeth sometimes, trying to figure out where they've gone, where they're at. And I think a lot of those guys, when you finally get a hold of them, they're just so grateful to be remembered, so grateful to be recognized, that they've all been great signers. I've gotten full letters back from some guys. It's just amazing when they get recognized and they're like, oh my God, well, somebody remembers me. So it's been really great now, working on that.
How did you gravitate towards that? Because that's kind of a real unique, section to go after.
Yeah. It actually started out when I was a senior in high school. I was playing hockey for my high school's junior varsity team, and it just so happened that the Major Indoor Soccer League's All-Star Game was in Cleveland that year, and they were hosting the skills competition at the exact same building that my high school played their hockey games in. And so okay. I said, okay, well, I've got a few cards. This is, a fairly easy way to get some autographs. And so went down there, got some of my cards signed, bought a pennant that I got signed by about 60 players. I just kind of put it aside for a while and totally forgot about it. And then 2013, I moved down to the Dallas-Fort Worth area here, and that's around the time that the Dallas Sidekicks came back. And I found out that, oh, hey, they have an alumni game every year with a lot of the former players in it. So I thought, okay, let's go and get some of these ones signed. And they were all so great about signing and just so happy to be remembered. So I'm thinking, oh, hey, why don't I try mailing some of these off? I could probably track some of these guys down relatively easily. And it took a lot of research to be able to find the addresses. But once I did, yeah, they were all great signers. And I'm up to about, in what, 4 years of work, I'm at 80% of those sets totally signed.
That's awesome. I know. Have you spent a lot of time, sending out letters and TTMing?
I kind of go through streaks. I kind of go through streaks on it, honestly. There's, I was looking through my numbers a little bit because I was talking to a friend of mine about it, because a friend of mine mentioned me and said, wow, this shows how long it's been since I've sent them out. I think it was my first request. I've sent them 2 months. And I'm like, yeah, that happens to me too. And I looked through and I said, yeah, last summer I went on a 3-month span where I didn't send anything out. And then over the next 3 weeks after that, I think I sent 60 of them out. So
okay.
It comes and goes in kind of streaks like that for me.
Now, you're kind of a set collector.
I am, yes.
Which I really respect, and I love collecting sets. I don't know if you know, I'm going after the 1992 NFL Game Day set. I've got about 200 of those, and I have I'm going after the 1978 Topps baseball set. So I have almost 300 of those.
Nice. Those 70s baseball sets are so much fun to work on, but also such a tough endeavor, though. And especially, with the 78 set like that, you've got the Eddie Murray rookie card in there.
I know, and there's so many players, and I'm almost to the point where most of the guys that do sign ETM for free, I have.
Yep.
So now I'm to the point, and I just saw that you actually bit the bullet and spent the $40 on Carlton Fisk, and that's kind of where I am on a lot of these guys. I'm trying to get them their charge. And some of them, most of them are for charity, but still it can get kind of expensive.
It definitely can. I've sent a few of the guys off that are, the $5 guys, like a Ron Swoboda, for example. I was able to get him for my sets. Who else was it? Sparky Lyles, another $5 guy. Those guys, yeah, I have no problem sending those off. If I know where the money's going or if it's not a very high price, yeah, I'll gladly do that. Carlton Fisk, 72 Tops is the big baseball set that I'm working on, and that's his rookie year. So it's like, all right, $40 to a charity that I know he's been working with for a long time. I'll go ahead and do that with no problem.
Yeah, I actually met him at the Shriners Auditorium show. I don't know if you've ever been to that show here in Boston.
Oh, no, I never have.
It's a pretty big show. They have it right around Veterans Weekend. So I was up there and I was talking to him, trying to get him to be on the show and going back and forth. But anyway, I did speak with him, and he was a really nice guy and very cordial. And, he was signing for everyone. But, even to go to a show, it was like $75 or $80 to get his autograph at the show.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Go ahead. I was going to say, there's actually a book coming out in a few months I'm looking forward to that's going to have Carlton Fisk and getting him at a show mentioned quite a bit in it. I don't know if you've heard about this book called Wax Pack.
Yes.
It's this guy named... I've actually been talking to Brad about that for a couple of years here and there, because I've had some writing projects and everything. I was trying to pick his brain on those a little bit, but following his blog when he was doing the trip and everything, I know Fisk gets mentioned quite a bit in there. It's like, oh, this could be an interesting segment in there.
Yeah, didn't he have problems getting Fisk initially? He was kind of... standoff.
He did. Yeah, he was trying to track down where he was at and everything and be able to get a hold of him. And I know he mentioned recently on Twitter something about even, like, getting threatened by Fisk's agent or something like that. It's like, whoa, all right. Definitely got to get a copy of this now and find out exactly what happened there. But
yeah,
he did eventually get him at a card show.
This has been going on for a while because I remember when he first started this, like when he was basically opening the pack. I remember reading the story on that. So that was, it's been going on for a few years now. And I remember reading a report that he was having problems with Fisk, either finding Fisk or getting Fisk to sign the card. I know I saw her on, I think on Twitter, I saw that he's got the book coming out, and I'm definitely going to pick up a copy of it. We're speaking with Drew Pelto. Drew is a extraordinary TTM collector. He's a set collector. He is a graduate of Emerson College. He has a BS in journalism, is broadcast journalism. As you heard, he worked for minor league hockey. He is now in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He lives in Arlington, Texas, home of the Texas Rangers, and they got a new stadium. I haven't had a chance to visit the new stadium yet. And he actually works for Panini. So how did you get the job with Panini? That kind of sounds like a dream job for a card collector.
Yeah, it was just really good timing, honestly. I was looking at trying to get out of broadcasting after some things with the team I was working with, and I just started thinking, I wonder what it takes to get into the card industry. You know, what could I do there? Could I, you know, do they need somebody who's going to write the backs of them? Do they need, you know, what exactly is out there? And so I thought, I really can't go to Topps because Topps is headquartered out of Brooklyn, and I really can't afford to move cross-country at all. Even Upper Deck is headquartered out of San Diego, and even that would be a heck of a move right there. So I started looking around. I'm like, well, wait a second. Panini started making cards. They're right down in Dallas. Okay, this is a possibility. And I just kind of kept my eyes open, and the second job posting that came up from them was for a photo editor. And not just a photo editor, but a photo editor who knows hockey and baseball well, and those are the two sports that I know the best out of any of them. And so I just figured, you know what? I'm just going to throw my hat in the ring there and hope for the best. Took a couple months, got an interview, came down, and I felt so good about that interview that I seriously just started driving around, looking at apartments there that day, just because I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to come down here, I think. And yeah, a couple weeks later, they said, yes, we'll hire you on. And here I am 7 years later now, still working with them.
So the raw photos come in from all the different freelance photographers and staff photographers, and then you go into Photoshop and cut them out and silhouette them or clean up logos and that kind of stuff?
Sort of. My job mostly is I'm kind of the liaison between the designer of the card design and the people who put together the list of what players they want for that design. And so I'll get that list of players, I'll get that design, and then I have to find the photo of that player that'll fit that particular design. And so once that gets done, then it goes off to another department who does all the color correcting, all the editing and cutting, and then it comes back to me again, and I have to place exactly where it's going to go on the card.
Now, do you keep a binder of all the cards you've worked on, so you have a portfolio of all the cards you're working on?
I wish I could. There's so many high-end ones, though, that they would never let me have.
I know.
So it's just totally for free.
That flawless line is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all that kind of flawless national treasures, all those sorts of things are just so incredible. I mean, I will say one of the favorite things I've gotten to do on the job is any of those high-end ones like that have the super thick cards like that has to be packaged by hand. And so I've gotten to actually help with some of that packaging on some of those. And so one of the last ones I got to do was the last National Treasures hockey set that came out. And getting to sit there and hold this, you know, I think it was the treasure chest one that have the four folder that has 26 or 24 mem pieces in them. Holding one that is a one of one with like the Canadian flag piece off of the laundry tag from the entire Canadian Olympic team's hockey jerseys. Sitting there holding that, looking at it, just like, oh my God, this thing is worth at least as much as my car, probably as much as both our cars.
Now, do you get to take pictures or they won't even let you do that?
I couldn't even do that, no. I have gotten, I mean, once in a while we do get a couple freebies here and there, so I've gotten, you know, some of the stuff that I've gotten to work on, and I don't have to keep a portfolio necessarily, but I do try to remember, like, oh yeah, hey, I worked on that, I pulled, you know, that entire base set. Like the last Prism hockey set that came out, I think it was the first ever base set where I pulled every single photo in it. And actually, come to think, I only pulled the Eastern Conference, and the guy that was still working hockey at the time pulled the Western Conference. But still, that's, I mean, 100 straight cards, and I can go, oh, yeah, I pulled the photos on every single one of those.
Now, have you thought about sending some of those off to get signed? Like, hey, I worked on this card. Could you sign it for me?
I actually have done that a couple times. Yeah, I've either that or getting them signed in person, too, because a lot of what I do now is now we don't have the hockey deal anymore, but I've been on most of our college stuff for about the last 3 or 4 years or so. And so a lot of those college guys that are in the baseball sets, I end up seeing in double-A baseball with the Frisco Rough Riders and the teams that they play against. Okay. So once in a while, I can, you know, you got to come over and sign and say, hey, yeah, actually, I worked on that photo or on that card. I pulled the photo that's on. And they're like, oh, hey, yeah, that's cool.
Do they come into the office to do signings, or most of those they're signing through, you know, at their house or wherever?
Once in a while, they do. They've had, I'm trying to think who they've had recently in there. We actually had Ricky Williams in a couple of weeks ago for a football season kickoff kind of celebration thing going on, but he was doing a signing for them just for any of the stickers and any on-card autos they need, but also did a signing for all of us employees there as well.
Oh, that's nice. So you get some, you bring in pictures or have them sign cards? They make cards available for you guys?
They printed up 8x10 photos of them, so they did two different versions of the photo, and so we will get one of those signed.
That's really cool. Now, I don't know if we're looking at industry secrets here, but if I am, forgive me. I'm always interested in how they determine, how they pack those things up, because, you know, I always watch on YouTube when they're opening these flawless cases or National Treasure cases, and you always wonder, like, oh, how do they determine, you know, Ted Williams goes in with Cedric Mullins, but Jackie Robinson goes in with a Lou Gehrig, or, you know, I mean, is it just kind of random, or how do they really say, okay, that they don't want to flood packs with, you know, five high-end cards and have one thing with no high-end cards?
They have different ways of collating the packs. That's a section that I really don't know a whole lot about, because it's all done by the product development department, but okay. They have these different I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it's just this way of collating everything, so they know that, okay, this case, this one's going to be put into this particular section or whatever, and so that way this case hit, we're going to make sure there's one per case. And then what they'll usually do is they'll pick a case at random, open it up, make sure that case hit is in there, make sure various box hits are in there. If it says, okay, it's supposed to be four autographs per box, then, okay, did this box have four? Yes. Did this box have four? Yes. The case hit was in there. Okay, we're good. And they just kind of test everything out like that. And so, I don't really know the specifics on it. But
the real high-end stuff, you know what I mean? If someone's spending, you know, $1,200 for a box of cards, and there's, you know, eight cards in there, I'm just saying I can't afford to buy those, but I've seen all, you know, watch the case breaks online all the time, and it always seems to be like, oh, there's one, like, great card and a couple of pretty good cards, and then there's a couple, you know, a bunch of, you know, everyday random cards that make up. So it's close, you know, it's close to $1,000, and some of them might be worth $3,000-$4,000, and other ones might be worth $900, you know what I mean?
Right.
I was interested, you know, when you're a kid, and, you know, as a kid, you're collecting Topps back in the day, and there weren't any case cards when I was collecting back in the 70s and 80s and buying packs, and now in the junk era, you know, you could buy a box, and you're trying to put together a set, and you just want to make sure you don't get five doubles of the same guy, and you didn't care if it was five, you know, Kali Stremskis, or it was five, you know, Danny Doyles. You didn't mind getting a few doubles, but that was what I always cared about. So it's kind of different nowadays. It's more of a lottery ticket as opposed to set building, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I've even heard stories of guys who, you know, buy an entire box, pull the inserts, just throw all the base away. And it's like, why? What are you doing? I will gladly take those right off your hands right now, you know?
No, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
you know, I honestly, I maybe buy one hobby box a year of something, but mostly I'm just buying, you know, blaster packs of retail, you know, at Target or Walgreens. I'm buying to for TTMing now. When I was a kid, I was collecting for sets, but now I buy for TTM because I don't have a lot of vintage cards, but I don't have a lot of the newer stuff. So if I see somebody that's signing, I'll either try to pick up a couple blaster boxes and see if I can get a couple cards, or I'll just go on eBay and buy the guy's card for, you know, a dollar.
Yeah, and that's there's a great site that I use for that called, Sport Lots. You can go on there, and it's almost like an Amazon of sports cards. It's like you name the card, you can probably find it on there. Prices start, the lowest that they'll allow anyone to price at is 18 cents a card. But there's a lot of, you know, commons and lower-end inserts that you can be able to get for that 18 cents. And so if there's anybody that you need, you can get on there and, you know, find four different cards of them real easily. And you just have to be careful a bit because the shipping can add up quickly. But if you can find, you know, four cards of a guy, three cards of a guy, whatever you, however many you're sending out, and just grab those all from one particular dealer, you're all set and you're paying maybe $2 to get those four cards.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like. So what is the site called?
It's called sportlots.com.
Well, okay, I'll have to check it out. We're speaking with Drew Pelto from Austin, Texas. And as you've heard, he's a major collector in terms of TTM. He's a set collector like myself. Drew, why don't you give out your blog and your Instagram where people can find some of the stuff that you're working on?
Yeah, definitely. My Instagram, you can just find me as DFW Graffer. Pretty simple right there, just Dallas Fort Worth Graffer, DFW Graffer. The two main blogs I work on, one of them is just Texas Graphing Chronicles. You can find that at dfwautographs.blogspot.com.
And the other one is by the way. That's a great blog.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I love it.
Awesome. And the other major one that I work on is my indoor soccer one, Pacific Soccer Autograph Project. And you can find that at pacificsoccersigs.blogspot.com. I know a couple weeks ago you interviewed Scott from Sports Card Forum. I'm an active member on there as well. I actually am part of the writing team on there and one of their super collectors as well. My screen name on there is Censored, is the screen name, just with the word Censored with two asterisks around it.
Okay, and how come that? Well, Highway, did you choose that or did he give it to you?
I chose that myself. It started out because my original screen name was going to be High-Fiving MF, which is the title of a song by the band Local H. And so I had that for a couple of days, and somebody messaged me, he's like, oh, no, you can't have that as your screen name. Please change it. And so typical of me being the smart guy that I am, I'm like, okay, well, fine, if you're going to censor me, just put my screen name as Censored then. And, well, so I did. And so it kind of stuck. And, I mean, I kind of like it because, you know, it's something that people are going to see. Once you tell them that, they're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to remember that now. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, I work on the I work on the writing team there. There haven't been as many articles lately, but I know for a while I was cranking out quite a few. On the old article site, I did an entire series on Topps baseball card base sets, just ranking them from the worst ones to the best ones. And a couple other pieces here and there, just whenever I felt like writing, I put them up. And the other thing I want to mention, too, is I actually run a few Facebook groups dedicated to baseball autographs. The main one is just called Baseball TTM Autographs. It was started in 2014, and I think it was the very first baseball TTM group on Facebook. I came in as an admin in 2016 on that, and I've been just basically running the show on that ever since. We've got two partner groups along with it, one called Ballpark Graphers, which is dedicated to all in-person baseball autographs. And one called Baseball Autograph Traders. Started that one just this year. It's dedicated to anybody who trades in baseball autographs. No selling at all, just trading strictly, and just baseball as well.
Yeah, you know, I joined a couple of the Facebook groups probably about 6 months ago. I wasn't really thinking Facebook as a source for TTM and autograph collecting, but I'm pleasantly surprised at the groups I've been involved with, and the people are very active and very nice, and there's always people out there trading and selling some of their doubles, and I think they're great groups.
Yeah, it's been an interesting platform for just any kind of connection, really, and especially in the autograph community. I mean, I will say there's some really good groups out there. There's some that are not quite so good, but we do. I think our admin staff there does a really good job of trying to keep any problems out and everything, and just focus on growing the hobby as much as we can, and just catering to the collectors out there.
Yeah, it's been. I got back into it. I think I told you maybe two years ago. I was a collector of cards, and I TTM'd when I was a kid, when I was in high school, and I got Mickey Mantle and Sandy Koufax and Stan Musial and Ted Williams
Oh, wow.
And all these guys. So I was really into it. And then I kind of stopped, and when I was in college, and I was still collecting, but not as much. And then one day I was just looking around, and I've got 100,000 cards just sitting there. Like, what am I going to do with these things? My kids yep. weren't into it, and then a guy at work was into autograph collecting. And I'd never really been huge into autograph collecting other than when I was younger. And I started sending out to a few New England Patriots just on a whim to see if I could get anything back. And I got hooked.
Yep.
So I love the mail, and I send out maybe 10 or 12 a week, and it's been fun.
Yeah. That's kind of how I got started in person collecting too, was I was in kind of the same situation, except I was in college at the time, sitting there going, you know, I've got this same gigantic, you know, pile of cards here, nothing to do with them. And I just happened to remember, you know, reading in Beckett about, you know, people autographing at hotels and things like that. I'm like, well, I probably live close by, you know, some of the hotels there with being at Emerson. And I actually messaged Paul Buxton was the guy's name. He's pretty much one of the gurus of hockey autographs out there. I'm just about anybody who's a hockey collector has probably either talked to Paul or at least knows of his work in the hobby. He was one of the first ones to have a website dedicated to it. I just reached out to him and messaged him and asked him, hey, how would I go about doing this? And he was such a huge help early on there, and he's still, as always, helping out all sorts of collectors all over the place.
No, I know you're really into, you're still into hockey because I was reading your blog this morning, and you're still getting a lot of returns on hockey. And the one set that really interests me is that you're working on the 1972 baseball set, which is A, expensive.
Yeah.
And B, a huge set. And mm-hmm. C, a lot of those guys are getting older or past. So has it been a labor of love for you?
It has. I got really lucky on being able to get a lot of the unsigned ones. There's a member of one of the Facebook groups, actually. We had this kind of deal going on where he said, hey, I found a bunch of 72s here at a couple of garage sales and everything. I will gladly give all of those to you if you don't mind sending me, you know, one of everybody that you get multiple autographs of throughout the entire baseball season. I'm like, that's a heck of a deal right there. I will gladly take that. And so
yeah.
At the end of the baseball season, he gets, you know, a whole bunch, maybe, you know, 80 or 100 cards signed, and I'm getting all these unsigned 72s. And I was able to put together most of the unsigned set because of that. And I mean, yeah, like you said, it has been tough because, you know, you do get a lot of guys that have passed on. You get a lot of guys that are charging. You get a lot of guys that just don't want to sign. But, I mean, it's a 787-card set. And once you include all these guys that have, you know, two players on a card, three players on a card, four players on a card, with all is said and done, that's 863 autographs that I'm going to need to get. But I'm at 378 right now, which, you know, that's, what, 40% of the way in. I'm very happy with the progress on that so far.
Yeah, no. Well, one of the names that brought a smile to my face was I saw that you got Sid O'Brien.
Yes,
Sid O'Brien. That's what I love about collecting sets is that you get all these guys that you would never even think about sending out to get an autograph, and then there is Sid O'Brien standing, staring you in the face from the mail, and you're like, this is awesome. I always get thrilled getting those guys just as much as I do if I get, you know, some Hall of Famer. I can't explain it, but I just love it.
Oh yeah, I totally get it. And I mean, the last three baseball ones that I've gotten back here recently have all been guys in that 72 set. Don Money, who is of course a longtime Brewer and the Phillies.
The Red Sox. I don't know if you remember, but he killed the Red Sox when he played.
Yep. I got him. I got Casey Cox, who was a Yankees, Rangers, and Washington Senators pitcher back in the late 60s and early 70s, and who's the other one was Mike Anderson, who was on the Phillies rookies card. But going back to what I was saying there about Casey Cox, he was a fun one to write to because he played on the late 60s Washington Senators, like I said, and one of their pitchers back then was this guy named George Brunette. And Brunette was a well-traveled lefty pitcher from the 50s up through the early 70s. And he actually pitched, if you include the Mexican League, all the way he started in pro baseball in 53 and finally retired in the Mexican League in 1985. So we're talking 32 years of pro baseball as a pitcher. But back in the 1960s, when my dad was a kid, George Brunette lived next door to my dad in the offseason.
Wow. That's something.
Yeah, he grew up in Amique, Michigan is the name of the town there. But it's New Alloway is actually the very village that they're in. home of maybe about 50 people or so. It's way up a very northernmost tip of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan there. But Brunette was a pitcher up there and used to live up there in the off season all the way up until he joined the Angels, and then he started spending all his time out in California there, which I don't blame him in the slightest.
Yeah, you can't blame him at all for that.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any of the harder guys in the 72 set? I know Clemente must be impossible.
Yeah, Clemente has, I think, three different cards in that set because, of course, the Pirates won the 71 World Series, so he's on some of those World Series cards. He's got his regular base card. He's got an in-action card. And I know that there are signed examples of those cards out there because I actually have a friend who is an authenticator for Beckett and used to work with SGC. And I've had dinner with the SGC guys a couple times, and I was talking to one of them about the 72 set, and he said that, yeah, he had a couple of Clementis at one point, and he does know that there are authentic examples of them all out there, but, yeah, they are very hard to find and would be very expensive for me to try to get.
I'm sure. Now, do you send your cards out to get authenticated?
Very rarely. Actually, I haven't sent any of mine to be authentic. I've got a few unsigned ones graded recently, but, no, I haven't done any authentication at all on any of mine.
I haven't either. I'm to the ilk that it's real to me, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And so if I was going to sell my cards, I would try to get them authenticated. But right now they're my cards, and it's a real autograph for me. That's the best way I can describe it. And I know some cards in my collection are either might be auto pen or signed by a secretary or a wife, or I think it goes with territory, right?
It definitely does. And I mean, I'm the type that I want to know if one is likely auto penned or likely secretarial or anything like that. I do definitely want to know that. And I'll usually, you know, mark it down in my inventory there saying, hey, this one likely auto penned or likely stamped, likely whatever. And yeah, I'd rather know than not know personally, but I definitely get just like, if you're just collecting for yourself, 100%, then yeah, you know, just put it aside and go, hey, it's real to me at least. Personally though, like I said, you know, I do a little bit of trading here and there. I don't do any selling at all, but trading, it's like, all right, I have to put it in there and at least say, hey, caveat emptor here, guys, this one might not be signed by this guy. So you might not want to trade for it.
Right. You don't know. But you don't know. Now, do you have any white whales or people that you're really going for in the next year, you know, towards your set?
The biggest one, none really for the 72 set. I'm kind of like where you're at on that 78 there, where I've got most of the guys that sign for free and are reliable signers. Probably going to start, you know, going for some of the guys that are cheaper signers in there, see if I can trade for some of the guys who don't sign, something like that. But the biggest one for me right now is in my 2002-2003 Topps Total set. I'm down to the last 11 that I need in that one out of a 440-card set.
Wow.
And I mentioned him earlier, Dmitry Bykov is the big one. And he's one that I've been chasing since the set started. Because, I mean, like I said, I'm down to the final 11 on that. And there's a lot of big names in those final 11. Like Paul Kariya is going to be almost impossible to get. He doesn't want to be recognized, it seems, nowadays. Mark Messier has always been a tough signer. Todd Bertuzzi is kind of a tough one. You get guys like Tommy Salo, Lubomir Sekarash, Espen Knutsen, Miroslav Shatan, and Andrei Nikolishin are all over in Europe. And I've tried mailing a few of those guys and never got them back. But Bykov for me is the toughest one because he played the 02-03 season here in the U.S. with the Detroit Red Wings. And he had it written into his contract that he would spend one season with them, and after that he could decide if he wanted to stay in Detroit or go back to Russia, and he took the option back to Russia. So there's a very small window of time to be able to get that card signed, because the set came out in February, and he was done with his season by, I think the playoffs would have ended for them in May. So you've only got maybe 3 months there in which he could have signed that card in the U.S. So being able to find one signed has been absolutely impossible. My only chance to get him in Boston would have been before the set came out, because they played them back in November in that 02-03 season.
And the set was
so I had no chance of ever getting it. What was that?
And the set wasn't out yet.
Right, yeah. Came out a few months after they played there. And so, yeah, so it made it impossible for me to get. So now it's like, all right, he's now a coach with a team in Moscow. I'm just waiting on my Russian stamp to get here off eBay and just, you know, throw one out there and hope for the best.
Isn't that fun? The whole thing is just fun. The story's fun. The search is fun. The quest, the trying to jump through hoops to get it. And it's just
It is. I mean, it's just it's just, it can be so frustrating at times, but then, you know, you get all the stuff that leads up to it, and hopefully that card comes back signed, and I'll have a heck of a story to go along with it.
Yeah, well, good luck, and I told you earlier, if you need help on the Russian, let me know. Hopefully I can play a little role in your success on that. And just a quick Messier story, he was supposed to attend that Bruins charity game at Walton that I attended, and he did not go. I was so bummed, because like, he would have been a nice, easy get there.
What really makes me mad is I had so many chances to get him over the years, because, I mean, when I was going to the hotels there in Boston, as a player, he was known for just not signing at all, ever. Unless you had him, like, one-on-one, then you might be able to get him. But after I moved down to Wichita Falls and was working with the hockey team there, his son was playing for a team down in the DFW area here with the Frisco, the Texas Tornado. And so whenever they would do a Dallas Stars alumni game, just because his son was playing right here in the building that the Stars would practice in, he would come and play in those alumni events. And I have friends who were able to get him several times there, and I just never thought to even come down for them. Just had this total brain fart on it and never thought to go to the games there.
Yeah.
And then to make it worse, when I was with the we were broadcasting a tournament to start the season up in Minnesota a few years ago. Messier was at that as well, because he had just invested in this company that was making a more concussion-resistant helmets. He was a big investor in it. He had signed out at the NAHL to provide all the helmets to all the teams there in that style. I was right there with him in the media room, right next to the guy, and it's like, I probably shouldn't, because I'm in here on a media pass. It just wouldn't be right probably to get this card signed, and I kind of wish I had now, but, you know, at the time, it's like, yeah, probably shouldn't.
Yeah, we've all had those stories. I had a time when I was at a Patriots practice way back, when my company, we were sponsors for the Patriots, and Tom Brady was literally sitting right next to me and didn't even think twice. This was before anyone knew who the hell Tom Brady was. You know, he was a quarterback and didn't even think twice about him. And I was at a card show. Emmitt Smith was there, had a table, didn't even know who he was.
Jeez. That's what I've gotten now to where... Yeah, that's what I've gotten now to where anytime I go to even one of the Frisco Rough Riders AA games, I'll check both teams' rosters. I will buy cards on these guys if I don't have a card, or if they never had a card made of them. I'll go on and try to find a photo or something, just print that up. I'll get them on an index card. Because just like you said there with Tom Brady, you never know who might be the next big thing just out of nowhere.
No, and don't you love going to AA games? I go to the Manchester Fisher Cats games up here in New Hampshire. The AA Toronto, I got to see Vladdy and Biggio and all these guys when they were minor leaguers. It's great. It's fun.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, because I live a mile and a half up the road from the Rangers Stadium. It would be so easy for me just to go to games out there, but once it gets down to it, I'm paying, you know, $20 for a ticket, $10 to park my car, or walk a mile and a half in 100-degree heat, which I can tell you right now is not fun. And, you know, paying for all the food on top of it, and I'm going to get maybe 10 autographs on a good day. Or I can drive 45 minutes out to Frisco, get a ticket for $8, the food is cheaper, I've got a spot where I can park for free, and I'm going to get 30 items signed, and, you know, somebody out there out of those 30 might turn into something big.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that time. I'm going to take that choice 100 times out of 100.
Me too. It's a great day. So, you know, I apologize. We've really kept you a lot longer than I anticipated.
Quite all right.
I love talking CTM and autograph and collecting, and it's been great speaking with you. I know you're a musician and you're a drummer in a band. You want to promote your band? If you guys get a CD or anything available, you want to promote that?
Yeah, I'll make a mention of them real quick. I actually just joined them back about 3 months ago. Our band is called The Nothing. We are a kind of garage punk, garage alternative punk is what I think what I called it to kind of describe it. But we're working on recording a demo right now. Hopefully we'll turn that into an album. But I kind of split time on them between drums and guitar, both. And so I've been mostly playing some guitar with them lately, but... yeah, it's been really fun working with them. I did record an album with my previous band called Death Before Breakfast, and I played the drums on that album. The album for them was called Destroy Everything, 10-track album. You can find it out on Spotify. You can find it on YouTube. It's all over the place, really. But, yeah, music is definitely what's probably a very close second to autographs and everything. And sometimes, too, I can combine the two because I've gotten a few musical autographs by mail. And one of the fun things, too, that I've done is – there's a thing called cigar box guitars that have been, they've got a history that goes back to even before the Civil War, where people would take a cigar box and then just, you know, put a piece of wood through, put some strings on it, and build a guitar. And if you've ever seen the boxes that National Treasures cards come in, it's very similar to a cigar box. And I've actually built a guitar from a box of National Treasures.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's neat. You should put that on your blog.
Yeah, I might. I know I've got a couple pictures of it here and there, and I'll have to see if I can get a video of playing it or something like that. But it gets kind of a different and interesting sound to it. It's just, it's really fun to mess around with.
All right. Well, why don't you mention all your social media stuff so if people want to see what you're collecting, then maybe can help you out with some of the things that you're missing. I know you have a lot. You're very organized. I'm impressed. I'm not quite as organized as you are.
It's taking a lot of work to get all that together, but I've been trying to stay on top of it as much as I possibly can. But yeah, like you said, my Instagram is DFWGrapher. That's a fairly easy way to find me. And yeah, if you find me on Facebook through the Baseball TTM Autographs group is the easiest way to be able to contact me. I'm the main admin of that group. And my blog is dfwautographs.blogspot.com. It's called the Texas Graphing Chronicles. And those are the easiest ways to find me. I do have my own personal Facebook page, but I don't really add like a ton of people on it or anything. I can easily be messaged through it, though, but I'm the only Drew Pelto that has roots in Ohio that's on. There's a couple of other Andrew Peltos on there. I think I'm the only one listed as Drew Pelto. So
all right,
it'll be easy enough to find me.
Well, as I said, please go check out Drew's blog. It is a great blog. It's always posting people that he's got TTM returns from. He has all his set information there, his needs. He is on Facebook at TTM Baseball.
Baseball TTM Autographs.
Baseball TTM Autographs. I apologize.
That's cool.
And Drew, thank you for spending some time with me today. It was nice to meet you, and please don't be a stranger, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on here, and I hope it keeps on going well. It's been definitely an entertaining listen anytime I've tuned in.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
Yeah. All right. You too.
Well, that wraps up a nice long edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. This was our final episode for the year. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. And I can't believe we finished out a complete year of programs. We had 35 programs this year. We'll be ramping up and starting up the new year with season 2, starting on January 5th. I've already got an interview in the can for that. I've got a couple other interviews of former athletes lined up, so we should be good through the month of January. If you're interested in being a guest on the program, send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com, and I'm sure we can get you on the program. We always love to talk to collectors and people that have interest in the hobby and an interest in TTMing, so please send me an email if you're interested in being a guest. I wish you and your family a happy holiday and a great and safe new year, and we will be talking to you next year. And as always, wishing you many happy returns.